of Avram Shor Shlita.
Thanks again for yesterday.
Thank you. Okay, Shushan Purim, Malas Kedushas Shushan Purim. It's hard when you're outside of Eretz Yisrael. Shushan Purim becomes that much harder. But the truth is, what he's about to reveal to us, the Shushan Purim is a very mysterious day, even for those who are more up close to Shushan. He says, quotes the Sefer Malbush L'Shabbos V'Yom Tov. The Sefer Malbush L'Shabbos V'Yom Tov is medayik the following. Ki kol inyan shemukafin osin yom tesvav. L'meidin anu rak mi diok b'gemara. Mi deprazim b'yodalin mukafin b'tesvav. How do we even know that there's a concept of Shushan Purim? The Sefer Malbush L'Shabbos V'Yom Tov says that the only reason we know that walled cities have their own Yom Tov is as derived from a diuk in the Pasuk, from the Gemara in Megillah Beis Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, well, Megillah talks about the 14th and 15th. The Megillah is pretty clear that unwalled cities read on the 14th. So the Gemara infers, midepraz and biyodalid, for the fact that unwalled read on the 14th, it must be mukafin betesvav. It must be that walled cities read on the 15th. But his point is, it doesn't say explicitly in Megillah Esther that walled cities read on the 15th. It's hidden. That information is hidden. The Gemara reads the Pasuk carefully and extracts that information. But it's not mefurish in the Pasuk. V'lo nemar befeirish k'mo shenemar b'prazim da'osin purim b'yadal. It's not stated explicitly, like the Megillah says, that unwalled cities read on the 14th of Adar. So what's this idea? What's the secret? Why is Shushan Purim hidden? He explains based on the Zera Kodesh from the Rav Shitzer, of Naftali Rav Shitzer, in his writings on Pesach. Shematzino eitzel Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom. Shehaachila shelo lo nichtav b'Torah. Tell me, does it say anywhere in the Torah that Moshe ate breakfast? Does it say Moshe even had a Shabbos meal? It never tells us in the Torah that Moshe ate anything. Although the Torah hints to the fact that Moshe must have eaten, because if you look in Parshas Ekev, Rak dichsiv lechem lo achalti. Moshe criticizes Bnei Yisrael when he talks about his experience going to get the Torah for Klal Yisrael, and he's upset at Bnei Yisrael. He says, look at the sacrifice I made for you. For 40 days and 40 nights, lechem lo achalti, I didn't eat bread when I went to receive the Torah. I was sustained by the Shechina, I didn't have to eat. So again, it hints, oh, I guess normally you do eat breakfast, Moshe Rabbeinu. And the fact that it says, these 40 days I didn't eat, we can infer that it must be that on a regular day Moshe did eat breakfast. But why doesn't it tell us explicitly in the Torah that Moshe ate breakfast? It says the Zera Kodesh, ki ein lanu havana mevadregas ha'achila shel Moshe Rabbeinu, because we can't even begin to understand the lofty way that Moshe ate breakfast. The achila of a tzaddik is a very chashuv thing. Moshe's achila was very spiritual. So at best, you could understand the concept of Moshe not eating. And you can infer from there that there must also be a concept of Moshe eating. But to say Moshe ate, we don't understand the concept of Moshe ate. We don't even understand the concept of a tzaddik in our times, a real tzaddik, and the kavanas that go into his eating. All the more so, we don't understand the Arizal eating his breakfast. And we certainly don't understand Rishon Bar Yochai eating his breakfast. And halachas kama v'kama, we don't understand what it was like when Moshe Rabbeinu ate food. The tikkunim that were taking place, the elevations that were taking place when a tzaddik eats. So therefore the Torah tells us the negative, and we can, in a very abstract kind of way, infer that there must be a positive, even though we don't really understand what that is. So he says, v'yesh lomar osafa, we can add to this, al pi mash matzinu b'shemo shel Moshe Rabbeinu, shenikdav rak shem Moshe, Shu al shem hashlilas. Even the name Moshe. The Medrash says Moshe had many names. What name do we call him by? Moshe. Is Moshe a positive name or a negative name? It really is a negative name. Not negative in like it's bad, but negative in the sense that it's telling us what he's not. It's telling us where he is not found. Right? He says the name Moshe is al shem hashlilas. Shlilas means negative, not negative bad. But negative as opposed to positive. Moshe is called Moshe because what? He's withdrawn from the water. So we know Moshe is not in the water. I don't know where he is, I know where he's not. So the Maharal explains in the Gevuras Hashem in Perek Yud Ches, Shelo haya avana b'moshe rak mashu eino. We can't really grasp what Moshe Rabbeinu is. We can only talk about where Moshe Rabbeinu is not. Perish, she'eino shayach lebechinas mayim, hamora al taiva v'chisufin gashmim. We know that Moshe, who's a tzaddik, is not in the water. Yes, mayim, ein mayim el Torah, in that sense he's fully in the water. But mayim in the negative sense, the mayim of the Nile River, from which he is withdrawn, Mitzrayim being a place of what? Of arayos, ervas haaretz, mayim, water, of the various elements of the Bria, water always alludes to what? To taiva v'kisufin, to desires, to physical desires, and the searching for pleasure, as he says here in parentheses, from the Shar Kedusha, from Rav Chaim Vital. So when it comes to understanding Moshe, we can't tell you what Moshe is, I can tell you what he's not. Moshe doesn't have our Yetzihara. Moshe is not the type of person who has the taivas that you and I wake up with every morning. But to speak positively, to say what Moshe is very hard for us to say. It's interesting, there's a big discussion also when it comes to talking about Hashem. Can we talk about what Hashem is? Or can we only talk about what Hashem is not? Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibur, V'Hanora. The Gemara says, had that not been taught to us by the greatest of sages, we wouldn't have been able to say that. Mi Yamalo Gevuras Hashem, Yashmiya Kol Tehilaso. The Gemara darshins. Mi Yamalo Gevuras Hashem. Who can speak of the greatness of Hashem? Yashmiya Kol Tehilaso. Only someone who understands Kol Tehilaso. If you don't have the full picture of Hashem, anything you say about Him is not properly speaking about Him. So therefore, even to say Hakel Agadol Agibur Vanora, like you say in Shemona Esrei, is a big chiddush. We need special reshus to say positive things about Hashem. The Gemara tells a story. There was someone who got up. He started to daven, and he started adding all these other praises of Hashem, Gadol, Gibor, Nora, and started adding other praises. So when he finished, one of the Tanai went over to him and said, "Oh, did you say all the praises of God? Now you got everything. You added, like, you said 15 praises of God. Oh, so now you said everything good about God." So he said, "You're not allowed to add on. The few things that we're allowed to say again was with great planning of the tzaddikim that we're allowed to say those few phrases. But you're going to add on more? Kol amosiv goreya. The more you add, the more you take away." So that's why there's a whole idea in philosophy of negative theology. Understanding God by what He is not. I can't tell you what God is. I can't tell you what Hashem is. But I can tell you that God is not evil. God is not physical. God, right? I can say God doesn't have a body. I can't tell you what that means, what He is. But I can tell you He doesn't have a physical form. I can tell you all the things that God is not. And then, in some way, that hints and alludes to the positive. So Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The Pasuk says, for 40 days when he went to get the Torah, he didn't eat. I guess that means he usually does eat. Moshe is withdrawn from water. Moshe is, right, is detached from Taiva. I can't tell you his tzidkus. I can only tell you what he's not. The chain mavur b'man shabav b'schus Moshe. The man we know that none of the kavod b'schus Aaron. The be'er was b'schus Miriam. The man, the holy food that we ate in the midbar, was b'schus Moshe Rabbeinu. What do we know about the man? Exactly, we don't know about the man. We don't understand the man. Yichsiv shalo yaldumau. They saw the man. They said, "We don't know what this is." And that's very much like Moshe Rabbeinu, the mask that Moshe Rabbeinu wore over his face, concealing the punim. The punim is the pnim, right? The pnimius of a person. A person's face says a lot about what's going on the inside. We can't look at Moshe's face because we can't know what's going on his inside. So he quotes the Shem Yishmuel in the name of the Avdi Nezer, Ki dargas haman, hu dargas Moshe Rabbeinu, lo hayu lanu hasagu b'zeh. We don't understand Moshe Rabbeinu the same way we don't understand the man. We said about the man, mahu, what is this stuff? So we look at Moshe Rabbeinu and we say, what is this? We don't understand you, Moshe Rabbeinu. So now we come back to Shushan Purim. Because again, Shushan Purim is also not spoken about directly in the Megillah. It talks directly about celebrating the 14th, and it hints that there's something about the 15th. And the Gemara says, it must be that's, if you live in a walled city, you must celebrate on the 15th. Because it says, unwalled city, celebrate on the 14th. Why doesn't the Megillah just tell us about Shushan Purim? Tell us openly. Why can't you just say openly what Shushan Purim is? ולפי זה כוסף המלבוש כי הסודה של שושן פורם לא נכתב במגילה. For this reason, Shushan Purim is not written openly in the Megillah. Behula tam hanizkar la'el, turn the page. Ki ha'or shal suda Shushan Purim, because the light of, if you need a copy, the light of Shushan Purim, ein lanu ha'saga b'zeh, it's beyond our understanding. We can't wrap our heads around it, it's too deep. U'mevi sham b'shem ha'teres svi z'chus ha'yin aleinu, ki sudas Purim, Ilu his ana mishabis to Shabbos, v'sudas Shushan Purim uki ilu his ana shtei Shabbosos. That the holiness of the eating of the Purim Suda, Yatera Svi says, is like the sanctity of a tzaddik who fasts from Shabbos to Shabbos. Who goes a whole week without eating and only eats on Shabbos. When we eat the Purim Suda, it's an achila she'en kamau. Shushan Purim, he says, it's ki ilu we fast in 2 weeks, shtei Shabbosos. So the point is, it's a very, very holy meal, Shushan Purim. So today, when you go to have lunch today, even if you're not going to have a very festive meal, but try to think a little bit. Try to make better brachos today when you eat. Try to have a little more kavana, even a simple kavana. You don't have to have Kabbalistic kavanas. Just have the simple kavana that Hashem, thank you for giving me food so that I have the strength to serve you. It's also a very beautiful kavana. To try to make sure that we're mechabed Shushan Purim, we didn't say Tachna today, there's still a little need of Shushan Purim, even for those who celebrate Yud Dalet, to try to have a little more of a kesher for this very mystical and hidden day. So I want to explain, says Rav Shor, this idea a little bit, what it means, as if you fasted from one Shabbos to the next. Ki Purim v'Shushan Purim hein b'chinas Shabbos. Purim is very deeply connected to Shabbos. That's why we just explained a moment ago that Moshe Rabbeinu, part of the mystery of Purim and Shushan Purim, is the mystery of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a very Shabbistic Jew. So Purim and Shushan Purim are the expression of the aspect of Shabbos. Like it says in the Sfas Emes to Parshas Zachor, V'lechein b'vaday b'achres hayamim sh'nizkel l'b'chinas Shabbos b'shleimus k'mo sh'hayah b'Shabbos v'yishona yismach ha'shmo. That when we have Shabbos, the way that Shabbos was originally given to the Jewish people, Shabbos becomes a weapon against Amalek. Shabbos is a weapon against Amalek. That's why Zachor is Yom HaShabbos, and Zachor, remember what Amalek did to you. The two Zachors. The Medrash already links the two Zachors. But to the degree that we're Zachor as a Shabbos, we also carry out the destruction of Amalek. So Sazema says, Ba'achas HaYamim, when we get to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, we always talk about the Geula as a time that's entirely Shabbos. It makes a lot of sense. Once we've defeated Amalek once and for all, now we can have full-time Shabbos. We can have Shabbos like never before. Valzeh Amru, and that's what Chazal mean when they say, if we would just be Shomer B'nai Yisrael, Shabbos Achaz Miyad Negal, if we just keep Shabbos for real, then we'd have the Gula. V'lachein, Kavu Yom Toshal Purim B'yom HaMenucha. And the relationship between Purim and Shabbos is that what? What day did they celebrate? When is Purim? The day that we fought for our lives? No. Purim is celebrated the day after the fight. When the fight is over and the Jews come to a state of what? Of menucha. Menucha. It's Shabbos day. That's the victory over Amalek. That's why the Pasuk says, it'll be behaniach, when Hashem gives you, right? When you rest, when you settle into the land. Then, timcha zecher Amalek. Make sure you destroy Amalek. Whenever there's menucha sanefesh, that's a victory over Amalek. When we have Yishuv Adas, when we're not mububal, when we're able to think clearly, that's a victory over Amalek. How does that fit with Adol Yada? It's a good question, but it does. And the Pasuk says in Megillas Esther, they rested from their enemies. So we rest, we defeat Amalek through rest, through Shabbos. Like it says in the Torah, it'll be b'haniach that you should defeat Amalek. So you see that Purim has this aspect of the rest of Shabbos. Again, Purim is a very hectic day. But the avodah of Purim is to be mevatel, all that is shtadlus. To be able to be very busy with Purim, but not to be overwhelmed by Purim. To not have a sense that I need to control Purim, that there's an expectation from Purim. Bittul shtadlus. Kol ha'osa pragmatia b'Purim, ein ha'rosim b'bracha. Anyone who does work on Purim, anyone who goes to work, or is involved in making money on Purim, ain't a roa simon bracha. You're not going to see a source of bracha in your life. Because Purim has to be like Shabbos, it has to be hands off. Nimsa kishne yimei Purim heim v'chinas shnei shabbosos. So the 2 days of Purim, Shushan Purim and Purim, Purim and Shushan Purim are like 2 days of Shabbos. We're having Shabbos back to back. This year, it's unbelievable. It's mamish a triple, right? We have a cheskas Shabbos. We had Shabbos on Shabbos. Yesterday was Purim, it's a bechina of Shabbos. Now we have Shushan Purim, which is another bechina of Shabbos. So it's a triple Shabbos this year. Twice the snow days, bechina Shabbos, good. Okay, so maybe this is it. Maybe this is the gula, Yom Shekula Shabbos. It's always Shabbos. Yeah? Gantzio Shabbos. Good. So Purim is 2 days of Shabbos. And that's what it means. Valo il mali shamu yisrael beis Shabbos miyad hayu nigalin. There's two different mamari chazal. There's a mamari chazal that says if the Jews would keep one Shabbos, we'd have the gula. And then there's a mamari chazal that says if the Jewish people would keep two Shabbos, we'd have the gula. So what does it mean, two Shabbos? Different ways to explain it. But if we understand what? If we understand Purim as a Shabbos Dik Yom Tov, and we understand Shushan Purim as, again, another form of Shabbos, then if we would just properly keep Purim and Shushan Purim, we'd have the Gula. Because that's the victory over Amalek, to be in a state of Shabbos. Rak Avru Tzadikim Zuchusi Again Aleinu. Ki Beis Shabbos As Hainu Beis Shabbos As Shal Shivas Yamim. But the Tzadikim explained that what it means to have what? Two Shabbos doesn't just mean 2 days in a row of Shabbos, it means 2 full weeks. That we were able to get from Shabbos to Shabbos with 7 days in between, right? With a week in between where we properly serve Hashem. That's how the Tzaddikim explained. Again, the Gemara said, if we would just keep two Shabbos, we'd have the redemption. What does it mean, two Shabbos? It means to go from one Shabbos all the way to have such a powerful Shabbos that on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I make the right choices the whole week and I come back to Shabbos. If I can pull that off, if I can have a perfect week, so to speak, then we would have the Gula. Sheishas yamim im Shabbos. V'tzrichum abeis Shabbosos v'lo dai b'yamei Purim. V'yesh lo amar ki ha'yidei ha'mishta shuki'ilu izanu mishabbos ha'shabbos yesh lanu koach shal shua shalem v'yecholim lifful al'yidei avodas hayom koach ha'gula. So he says maybe that's why the Ataras Tzvi says that when you have the Purim Suda, it's not only like you kept Shabbos, it's like you fasted from Shabbos to Shabbos. And if you have this, if you have the Suda Shushan Purim, it's as if you fasted two Shabbosos. What does that mean? What he's saying is that the Ataras Tzvi is telling us that the power of the Purim Suda is not only like a Shabbos. It's like a Shabbos in the sense it's like a week. So again, this is an unbelievable opportunity that we have. Coming out of a Shabbos into a Purim, into a Shushan Purim, it's very Shabbosic, and we have to believe that we could defeat a Malik and bring the Gula. Ulai Yesh Lomar. Next paragraph. Od Yoser. Yimash Mavur B'Sefer Malbush L'Shabbos Yom Tov. Let's go a little bit further. The Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe, says in Parshas Bechukosai, on the pasuk Im Bechukosai Te Leichu, Shenemar Lashon Im Shemashmo Rishus. It's a funny pasuk. Im Bechukosai Te Leichu. If you walk in the ways of the Torah, if, like, I have a choice, if you do, if you don't, and I have a choice, what's Im? Im sounds like a Lashon of Rishus. Afshanu Medabim Mechob. We're talking about something that you have to do. Torah's not optional. We like to think, you know, I can choose, I can do what I want. The reality is we're expected to do. And we're going to have to answer when we don't do. So what's im b'chukosa? Why are you presenting it as if the choice is so open-ended? Afshanu medaber mechova me'amelis b'torah. Right? And again, if you talk about the specific context of this pasuk, not just talking about Torah in general, it's talking about amelis b'torah. Im b'chukosa teilechu, Rashi says, sh'ti amelim b'torah. To be diligent in Torah study. So why is it im? It's not a choice. So we explain based on the Yismach Moshe, based on the Gemara and Brachos. The Gemara and Brachos, Lamed Hei, says, Bo Re'ei Shaloka Doros HaRishonim Doros HaAchronim. The earlier generations and the later generations, they're not the same. Doros HaRishonim Hayim Machnisim Perosein Derech Traksimon Kedei L'Chayvim HaMaisim. The earlier generations, they would dafka bring in their produce from their field in such a way that they would become Chayiv in Maisim. Doros ha'achron, machnisim perosein, derach gogos, derach hatseros, derach harpeifos, g'day lepatrim n'maiser. The halacha is that maiser takes effect, your produce becomes the expectation for full tithing takes effect when it's roa p'nei abayis, when it sees the entrance of your home. So the earlier generation, they would bring the maiser in through the front door in order to mechayev themselves in maiser. But people said, people who didn't want to give generously, didn't want to give maiser, would dafka sneak their meiser through the rooftops. They'd drink, they'd lower it down through the skylights, right? Through the openings on the roof. So that way they could exempt themselves from meiser. So the Gemara is saying there's a difference in attitude. Do I look to create more mitzvah opportunities, or do I look for shortcuts to beat the system? Well, it's technically, you know, it's not a violation of the halacha. Am I looking for more opportunity, or am I looking for ways to get out of mitzvahs? That's the Gemara in Brachos. Says the Yismach Moshe, ki doros ha'achronim, what does it mean, doros ha'achronim? The Kavana is, shaloya kolkach is nagnus mitzari yitzahar. You know why the doros ha'achronim tried to sneak through the rooftops? The Yitzchak Moshe is Malam Yitzchus and says, no, you know why the later generations snuck their Meiser through the roofs? Because they didn't want to give Meiser D'Oraisa. They don't want to give Meiser D'Rabbanan. Oh, so look, they're trying to get out of things. No. They understand that when a Jew does a mitzvah, the Yitzhar is very strong to try to stop him from doing a mitzvah. The earlier generation said, we don't care, we'll march through the front door, and if the Yitzhar wants to start up with us, we'll fight the Yitzhar. But the later generation said, it's very hard for us to fight the Yitzhar. And therefore, maybe if we just do a mitzvah d'Rabbanan instead of mitzvah d'Oraisa, the Yitzhar will say, it's only a d'Rabbanan, I don't have to work as hard to get you to mess up. So out of a commitment to be able to do the mitzvah better, they dafka brought their meiser in a roundabout way to only bichayev and meiseros b'derabanan, so that the Yitzhara that's going to confront them will be of a lesser quality, and that way they'll be able to at least do the mitzvah b'shleimus, albeit only derabanan as opposed to deraisa. That's the Yismach Moshe's limud zchus on the doros ha'achronim. That the shortcuts that we're looking for is not because what? It's not because we're bad Jews. We're looking for shortcuts because it's so hard. And if we can sidestep the Yitzhara a little bit here and there, to be better Jews, then that also has a place. So he says, "Beer b'zeh beis Yisrael." So the beis Yisrael, again, the Ger Rebbe explained in the same way. Perhaps that's why the Torah says, "In b'chukosai teilecho." Ki Hakadosh Baruch Hu lo ratza sheyitzahara yeda she'amelus b'torah hu mitzvah v'chiyuv shelo yakol kachis nagdus leitzer hayetzel lezeh. Hashem didn't want the Yitzhara to realize how valuable it is when a Jew gets together and works hard to learn Torah. Hashem didn't want the Yitzhara to realize how valuable that is. So Hashem says the Beis Yisrael, it's such a sweet vart, such a beautiful idea. He's being Malam Yitzchus and Klal Yisrael. Hashem wrote in the Torah, if you work hard learning Torah. So the Yitzhara says, apparently it's like optional. Okay, so that must not be something God cares a lot about. The truth is Hashem cares a ton about our learning Torah. The world only exists because of our learning Torah, right? If not for my covenant of day and night, the Navi says, then chukos shemayim v'aretz lo samti, then the world couldn't exist. The world would collapse. But we don't want the Yitzhara, we don't draw attention to ourselves. So the Torah wrote, im v'chukos ha'teilechu, if you work hard in Torah, and that way HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept it a secret. But we need to know the truth is that it's a secret, but it's a chashuv secret. We have to know how valuable it is when we learn Torah. Hashem wrote it as if you learn Torah, that way the Yitzhara won't be drawn to it. This is the same explanation, by the way, that many Svarim, both in revealed and concealed authors of Torah, write to explain why David and Malach, why Mashiach comes from such a strange place. Mashiach comes from the Shechruso Shalot, the drunkenness of Lot, sleeping with his own daughter. That's where Mashiach comes from. But that becomes a shmira for Mashiach. That to protect Mashiach from negativity, from the kochos atuma, right, Mashiach has to come from a hidden place. If Mashiach comes from a very firm family with, you know, perfect yichus from Bnei Brak or something, so then it's going to attract the attention of the Yitzhara. But if Mashiach comes from a place that the Yitzhar would never think to look, some drunken father sleeping with his daughter, that's the root of Mashiach. But that was part of the cover-up for Mashiach. We have to hide Mashiach, because we don't want the Yitzhara to take away Mashiach. So Hashem, when He gave us the Torah and He gave us the opportunity to be Amel B'Torah, Hashem wrote, Im b'chukosai teilechu. So that way it would appear like it's a Devar Rishus. So it says, Rav, I'm sure now you understand Shushan Purim a lot better than you did 24 minutes ago. Says Rav Avram Shor in the final paragraph of this piece, "Val derech zeh yesh lahavin gam b'shushan purim." So based on everything that we've explained, right, this idea of some things have to remain hidden, whether it's our inability to understand Moshe Rabbeinu, or it's our inability, or the cover-up of Imbechukos Aitelechu, right, or it's the explanation of the Yismach Moshe, why the later generations seem to be trying to beat the system. Shushan Purim is not written about openly in Megillah Esther. Why? Says Rav Shur about Derech Zeh, Yishlahav in Gam B'Shushan Purim. This again, this is Rav Shur's elaboration on that which it says in the Sefer Malbush L'Shabbos V'Yom Tov. About Derech Zeh, Yishlahav in Gam Shushan Purim. It doesn't say openly that Shushan Purim is a day of celebration. And you walk around, especially in Chutz La'aretz, and you really, only by big tzaddikim do you see anything today. If you go to Rav Matal Zilber today, you go to the Stuchina Rebbe, those who are looking for an adventure this afternoon, you go to the Stuchina Rebbe, and your mom, as you walk in, you'll be back in Purim. You'll be completely back in Purim. But right now, we're all feeling, you know, we're done. Purim's done. We seem to have let go of Purim. We let go of Purim. But we have to try to hold on to Purim. We have to try to hold on to Purim. What does it say? Kol haposha yad naisen lo. Whoever extends his hand, he gets. Yeah? I gave out a lot of money yesterday. I kept extending my hands. Until last night, my daughter, every time she came over, she said, Daddy, can I give you a hug? I said, oh, poshe yad. Put a dollar in her hand. Yeah, kol haposha yad. You have to give. Someone puts that, because that's, we're petitioning Hashem, that we put out our hands, Hashem should give us. But I think the Sfarim say, I don't think I made this up. The Sfarim I think say, Kol haposhe yad nosimlo, Kol haposhe yudal radar. Anyone who extends yudal radar. If you extend yudal into Shushan Purim, there's nosimlo. Right? Yesterday was yudal radar, today's Tesvav. We're trying to be poshe yad, we're trying to extend yudal radar so that it shouldn't disappear so quickly. But again, it's hiding from us. Shushan Purim is hiding from us. The same way it's hiding in Megillas Esther itself. It's not revealed in Megillas Esther that there even is such a thing. Because this way the Yitzhahara can't get. The Yitzhahara won't be able to ruin the Simcha. To be able to celebrate this day, again, it's such a holy day, but such a concealed holy day, without the Yitzhahara coming to interrupt or damage the Simcha Sayon. So that's the secret of Shushan Purim. So we should be zocheh to tap into this hidden world of Shushan Purim, to understand just how hidden it is. Again, it's hidden in the Megillah. If not for the Limud, the Gemara has to darshan it out. Megillah daf beis amud beis has to squeeze out Shushan Purim. But big things are hidden. Moshe Rabbeinu is hidden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's hard to talk about positively about Hashem, because we just don't have the full picture. In B'chukos Aiteleichu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid the sweetness of Amelis B'Torah, so the Yitzhahara would allow us to learn Torah without getting in our way. And that's the secret of Shushan Purim. All right.